And our guest this week has carved out a position as one of the country's premier songwriters. From early EPs and singles such as Dirty Hercules and Around, through to the neo-soul triumphs of albums such as Lamentations and Blastoma, Nairi has expertly weaved together the past, present, and future of music. Nowhere is this blending more powerful than her third album, titled appropriately, Three. It's a love letter to her country, Papua New Guinea, to the people she loves and to her ancestors and to herself. It's also one of the most moving records you'll hear all year. It's absolutely fantastic. So we're so happy to have Nairi here to chat through it all. Hello, Nairi.
Woohoo! Hi.
How's your day been? How are you going?
Today's been the first day I've been able to just chill for a few hours and, you know, just catch my breath. So it's been good. It's been really good. It's been really nice and chilled.
That's always good. I mean, we really appreciate you jumping on and talking to us on a Sunday afternoon. I know everyone's like chilling out and relaxing, but yeah, thanks for so much for giving us your time, especially on...
Oh my gosh, all good.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of life between your last album, Blastoma, and Three. Let's go back to the start. Like, when did you get the ball rolling on creating this new album?
So I started in 2017. The idea was for it to come out probably like 2 years after we started it. And then it just kind of went on for about 5 years because I had some health issues and, you know, obviously COVID kind of stunted last year. But here we are and it's out and I'm so happy that I can finally let go of it.
Well, that's the thing. I read it on Facebook that you said that you were a little reluctant to hand it over because of how personal a process it's been. Obviously, there's that moment of trepidation before releasing any music, but do you think there's more so for this album than anything else you've released?
For sure. I think this definitely is, I guess, my soul on a plate. And, you know, I delve into topics that I haven't, obviously, on the last two albums, especially motherhood, because, you know, I wasn't a mother the last two albums. And so, you know, it's a bit reluctant because I always wanted to keep my motherhood close to me and not talk about it too publicly about it, only because of the judgment that I got within the industry for having a child. And yeah, which was, was a little bit sad. So I'm just so amazed at how people have just received the whole body of work so far. So, you know, there's nothing to be scared about.
I hope not. I hope not. And I guess, you know, hopefully attitudes are changing, you know, ever slowly, but hopefully things are getting better for women in music, especially women who choose to have babies and live lives and, you know, do all that as well as making music.
Yeah. Totally. Little by little, you know, there's still, like you said, it's happening bit by bit and there's so much work to be done, but we'll get there.
Hope so.
Let's hope so. So you had a few writing guests on Blastoma and Lamentations, but this time it was mostly you and Jack Grace hunkering down to create it together. What was the decision behind that to keep it fairly close and insular between the two of you?
I think because Jack and I have been through a bit of life with the last album already and I trusted him and, you know, it takes me a while to fully trust someone and bring them into my writing space. And it just made sense. Jack really understood me as an artist. He understood the struggles that I've been going through just from being in the industry as a woman of color, but also a Pacific Islander and a Papua New Guinean who always got misunderstood. And he was actually the one that set me on the whole path. He actually sat me down and said, look, Nairi, this keeps happening all the time. People keep getting where you're from wrong and who you are wrong. And I realized it, but I never kind of thought it was worth pulling the brakes and going, okay, maybe we should try to actively do something about it. And you know, that's the reason why I chose to work with Jack, because he just got it.
And he's an amazing artist himself, of course. Just released his own album a little while ago. And and he's stuck over in Paris, hasn't been able to come back to Australia. So you were working, I guess, remotely back and forward for a long time there?
We were. He made the decision shortly after we embarked on putting the album together. So, you know, everything kind of moved online after that. And unfortunately, he's been stuck. He was in Paris and then he moved out near the French Alps, which is just an incredible piece of, amazing bit of world to move to. But yeah, he's been stuck out there because of the restrictions of traveling back for overseas Australians, which is just so unfortunate because he's been trying to get back for a whole year and keeps getting kicked off his flight. But yeah, it's definitely been an online process and not a lot of physical time in the same room.
There's such a wonderful marriage of traditional elements on three, a lot of gospel chords and arrangements like in the interlude Akura that are kind of fed through this synthetic filter. And it's like the union of the past and present is such a feature on this album, isn't it? Through all the themes and the instrumentation.
Yeah. I mean, to throw back to Jack as well. I mean, one of the things that's similar with us is that we both kind of got brought up in religious homes and then kind of chose secular paths post that. And so we have that connection back to, you know, church and gospel influences and that kind of stuff. And so it's very much reflective of that eclectic, those eclectic worlds that we've created around us already. But yeah, that's that the gospel influences definitely come from that side of our lives.
And one thing I noticed on this album is that there's been a significant ramp up of harmonies and the backup vocals. At times on some tracks, it's like this gorgeous wall of sound in the back. Can you speak about that element of the production and how you got that at that to that level?
I think this was the first time that I'd actually had the freedom to record my own vocals. So just spend just an uninhibited time length of time just working out every single arrangement and doing every single line 1,000 times. I had that luxury to do that because I recorded them all at home by myself and then would send them off to Jack to kind of do his thing over. I kind of started out doing that initially and I kind of moved in other directions and made things a little bit more simplified because I was working with people that I didn't feel, especially for the first album, I was working with someone that I wasn't quite comfortable with. So I've always felt rushed to get things done so definitely I had a lot more time to really get finicky with the backing vocals.
Nice. And you've sort of mentioned it before as well that you're more of a creator than and not just a musician. And I love that you bring all these different artistic elements into your music and your albums and your style. Your videos also are really amazing. In Closer, you have such an amazing range of fashion and aesthetics going on. Is this visual element really important to you throughout the making of this album and going forward?
Definitely. I mean, when we started the project, the whole idea was to try to work backwards. And so we collected all the visuals and all the we went back to PNG. I don't know if I said that before, but we went back to PNG with a small creative team with the idea of just collecting as much visual content as possible. And we spent a month there just being in three different places, collecting as much footage as we could, and then we came back and then started to work through the footage and figure out what exactly I wanted to write about. And so it's always been kind of, it started off as a visual project, so it was only natural that it would kind of still be the through line through the whole project. And I think that when you're trying to present a culture like PNG's, which has over 800 different cultures and languages,
wow,
and also a post-colonial country at that with a lot of European influences, you can't just write about it because there's so many things that you'll miss. And so I think presenting it to the world needed to come with some kind of visual anchor. And yeah, that was a decision. That was why we decided to do that.
Fantastic. I everyone should just definitely check out not only your videos, but there's like a mini documentary on Shiva, which It's just really well put together. I think Jack was involved in that as well, doing the sound design. But yeah, just really like touching scenes. Like, you know, it feels quite personal, of course. But, you know, some footage there that I'm sure you must have got a whole heap of footage, but just like a snippet of it. And it's really, really amazing to watch.
Thank you.
Well, we were going to play Moonshine from the album right now. I believe it is the latest single to come off it as well. So you sort of...
It is.
And it's such a beautiful track. It is one of my favourites on the album. I've listened to the album multiple times since I got my hands on it. And Moonshine really does stand out. What can you tell us about the track before we play it?
So, as I said earlier, I have some health issues with my pregnancy and I have a history with cancer. So I was in very acute abdominal pain through 7 months of the pregnancy and I had no answers for what was going on with me. They found tumors on my liver and my pancreas, but they couldn't run the normal tests that you would if you weren't pregnant. And so I kind of experienced my own mini lockdown before COVID started. My whole gig calendar got wiped. I lost control of my body, my career. And I just wanted to go back to how things were before, how I just wanted to be out with my friends till the early hours of the morning, just chatting, not even just partying, but just being out of control in a different way than I was in that moment. And I think what I love about this song is that it's very, very applicable to right now where everyone's kind of in lockdown and yearning for their old lives or some kind of normal. So, yeah, that's Moonshine.
This is Moonshine. We're talking to Nairi on The Tuck Shop and we'll be back real soon.
I am a night sky, deep purple and blue dye. Some days you can hear me cry. Some days I'm okay but not alright. I'm shaking fierce at these long labored lips, wondering where the future goes and what I could miss. Oh baby,
right there was Moonshine by Nairi. That's off her latest album, 3. It's actually the new single that just dropped on Friday along with the release. And we have Nairi on the line here having a chat through her new album. Hello, Nairi. How are you doing?
I'm still here.
Thank God for lovely home internet connections. We had some tech issues up the top there. Sorry, everybody, about that. But I'd love to dive back into this new album because it's so incredible. And, you know, it's often said that songwriting and any writing is just the writer explaining something to themselves. You know, this is such a personal album and you described it all as this quite extreme therapy session. What was the biggest thing you had to face up to yourself when writing the album? I know that's a very intense question, but
yeah, thanks, Jules.
Just to throw you in the deep end.
You know, I also think that about interviews, you know, because you kind of have to talk about what you've written, and I wasn't prepared to talk about what my track Kim meant for a little bit. And I remember having a meeting with my team and they were asking, look, you don't have to talk about it. We can figure out how to communicate this to people. And I went along with that. And then I had my first interview and I felt cornered. I was like, I can't, there's no other way I can explain this. I have to be honest. And that's what I've built my career on, is just honesty. And, you know, and I think that doing these interviews are also kind of therapy sessions. Like, I did an interview with Beverly Wang on Stop Everything on ABC Radio National, and it was honestly she made me cry on the interview, and I was just like, wow, this is good, but also really awkward. But the more it happens, and the more people like you ask me those questions about like what is it that you found difficult about discussing, it makes it easier to talk about. So definitely motherhood, I think, just because, you know, when you become a mum, not so much, I don't think so much for men, definitely for women, you become uncool for some reason. And, you know, I was just like, maybe I shouldn't tell anyone that I got pregnant and I had a baby, and maybe I should keep that on the down low, because it feels like people are like, oh, this is going to change everything for Nari now that she's had a baby. And so I was a little bit reluctant, but also reluctant to talk about the trauma that I went through giving birth, which is something that doesn't get spoken about that openly and that much. But yeah, I think that would definitely, that's the standout thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's such a tough thing to face up to. And as we were saying before, you know, the industry is not kind to mothers, and it's moving, the needle is moving, but it's moving very slowly. And there's still so, there's still so far to go for so many people. you said in an interview recently that something that really grabbed me, and you said that people don't want to go to their graves clutching the person they're portraying rather than the person they actually are. Putting this album out, has it freed you a little? Do you feel like you're now the person that you actually are rather than someone you're portraying?
Heck no. Heck no. I think, you know what, I think that I've just gotten better at I've just got better tools now. I think this will always be a journey and always just like a thing that everyone has to work on. Those insecurities, those things that keep holding us back. And the last 5 years have definitely taught me about parts of myself that I have been kind of keeping under wraps, or parts of myself that I've had to compromise on in order to fit in boxes within the industry. And I just think that I'm better at identifying those things and making the right steps to dismantling it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, we're all learning, right? Like, as we grow every day, we learn how to better fit in and be ourselves. I think I get it. We're all part of the journey. let's get a bit lighter. You've worked with amazing magical, you've worked with a magical list of artists over the years, from Paul Mack to Flume to Birds to Bujara to Alice Ivy, all amazing tracks in their own right. I dare say you get approached a lot to sing for many artists, but is there one artist that you've always dreamed of working with?
I'd love to work with Gautier. I would love to work with him. In terms of Australian artists, definitely.
He's so elusive, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't release much music. Obviously, he does some stuff with the basics. But
where is he? Where's the new music?
No one knows.
Everyone wants to know. Definitely Australian-wise, I would really love to write with him. Yeah. International-wise, you know, there's always like the Bjorks and the Sufjan Stevens and the Erykah Badus that are always, you know, they're there for the connections. Yeah. Bjork would be incredible.
Oh man, that'd be amazing too. I haven't seen much new music from her for a while either. you've recently been signed to, I think, Wise Music sort of as well, and a whole bunch of amazing things are going on in the scene as far as pushing out your music. It must be exciting to, I mean, three albums in, to be getting more steamroll, more sort of momentum on your career.
Yeah, it's funny how music works in that way, especially in the commercial sphere. You're just kind of plugging along for a while, and then all of a sudden all of these things start to happen. But, you know, I think a lot of these things that have happened are years and years of building relationships with all of these people as well. So
yeah.
I'm really grateful for having had that time to, you know, build those relationships, but also grow myself. Wise Music are incredible. They're a small family business, but have offices all around the world. And I'm just excited to write with the people on their books. That's like, that's really exciting to me. So yeah.
For sure. Quickly back to PNG. I did read you were planning on moving back to PNG perhaps in March this year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that didn't.
Last year.
Is that still on the cards?
Oh man, the longer this lockdown keeps going and this pandemic keeps going, it's looking Yeah, it's a difficult thing now. We were ready to go. Me and my husband were ready to go, but the longer we've had to wait, the more we've had to kind of put down roots and create stability for our son. And, you know, it's looking like, yeah, no one really knows. Everyone's just kind of taking one day at a time. And it would be ideal for us to go back there because I'm ready to go back home. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Some of the footage I've seen of PNG, what's your family home like? Like where you came from in PNG and you obviously went back to, you know, maybe a couple of years ago now. Was it just like you remembered or did everything sort of feel different?
So my parents are from four different areas in Papua New Guinea. And if you know anything about PNG, it's like it's almost like a country of smaller nations. So the fact that they come from four different places means that they between them spoke four different languages.
Wow.
Going back home for holidays, you'd either be up in the highlands, which was the polar opposite to being on the coast. But for this whole project, going back there for the sake of looking at things with a magnifying glass was a whole other experience for me because I started to unravel things that I'd taken for granted and thought were normal, but also very interesting to, you know, people back here in Australia or the rest of the world in the modern day world, so to speak. So I appreciate my culture and where I come from a lot more having done this project.
Your Australian and NZ tour has been scheduled for November, December, January, and we're all so hopeful that it's possible. But of course, you know, with COVID, as we were saying, things get scuppered quite easily. But what are your plans for this album tour? Who will tour with you? Have you thought much about how the live show will come together?
Yeah, we're, you know, ideally we'd like to do the whole shebang and do a full production and visuals and that kind of stuff. But that all takes investment of money and, you know, with things just changing all the time, I think we're going to try to keep it as simple as possible. But as, I guess, I don't know, even if it's as simple as possible, if it's just me and the band just getting up and playing, that's enough. But yeah, we're just, it makes me nervous knowing that we've announced these tours. And I mean, the fans are really amazing because they're still buying the tickets. And I know there's a portion of them going, ooh, should I buy it now? Or should I just wait for them to move it? Because we all know what happened. But I think we'd probably we're looking at two different formations of the band. We'll probably have like a more broken down version, and then the whole production in terms of the whole album sounds.
God, well, we're so hopeful that it's going to come to fruition. Let's hope COVID stays at bay. Your new album is out. It's called Three. Thank you so much for jumping on and having a chat. It's been wonderful. And congratulations on just releasing such an incredible album. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you so much, Jules. I know you've kind of been a supporter over the years with that Rolling Stone interview as well. So thank you, both of you, Mick, as well. Thank you for having me.
Thanks,
oh,
Mari.
Thank you. I was actually, you were my first gig when I first moved to Sydney from awesome. Good old Lismore, which I think you spent some time in as well. So.
Oh my gosh, that'll always be home for me, honestly.
Oh, God, gotta love Southern Cross music department. It's a wonderful place. But we're going to go out by playing Him Now, which is one of the most powerful songs on the album. Thank you so much, Nairi. It's so wonderful having you
Thanks,
on.
And guys. Chat- Okay.